Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, jumping in to tell you about this week's episode of Meat and Three, Heritage Radio Network's weekly food roundup. This week, we're introducing you to some amazing women taking a stand.
So often, being sexually harassed feels like a loss of control. And so I wanted to have these very tangible guides to say, here's what you can do.
Others are pushing for more diversity at major food industry events.
I still feel really determined to do, you know, whatever I can to help shift that and in a direction that's not just more diverse, but more equitable.
We also have a report on that summer business staple, the lemonade stand.
The lemonade stand might be the purest form of starting a business. Low overhead, easy to get into, and requires little experience or special equipment.
Don't miss Meat and Three, your weekly 15-minute food news roundup from HRN. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Search MEAT plus sign THREE. And thanks, as always, for listening.
Imagine if you could cut fresh microgreens onto your salad and eat it while the greens are still fresh and nutritious and delicious and alive. That dream is real on this episode of Tech Bites. Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world. That is a true fact. That is not a made-up fact. That is not exaggerated or inflated. It's for real. 165 countries. I love to say that. They are tuning in to listen to 35 live shows a week, including this one, Tech Bites, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk to influencers and innovators in the food tech space. If you are an influencer and an innovator, perhaps you are a startup founder in the food tech space and you want to be on the radio, or better yet, you want to be on the radio and live pitch your business to a VC guy for money, give us an email. Send us your deck to techbytes@heritageradionetwork.org. We are actually looking for startups for our second live pitch show, which will happen on June 14th. Two lucky startup companies will pitch Brooklyn Bridge Ventures founder and managing partner Charlie O'Donnell. It's a lot of fun. It'll be our second one. We did one earlier this year. It was a huge success. We had lots and lots of submissions, and so we're going to do it again. So again, if you're a New York City-based food tech startup, and you are pre-750K, and you want to come on and pitch your business live on the show, email your pitch deck to techbytes@heritageradionetwork.org. That's the public service announcement. Today, our innovators and influencers are two women who have just opened 3 days ago the very, very first microgreen salad fast food concept, ag tech forward thing. It's pretty amazing. They have microgreens that are live and growing at the restaurant that they cut to order, harvest to order. Clever. And then you get to eat amazing, super fresh microgreens that are hydroponically grown at the peak of freshness, deliciousness, and nutritiousness. And given the big, big salad boom in the United States and the world, it's kind of amazing to me that somebody hasn't done this already because it seems to make so much sense. Anyway, we will get to harvest to order right after we take care of our usual business, which is what's going on in Appland. So we have here today our two co-founders of Harvest to Order. We have Liz Vanknin, who is a repeat guest. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
And we have her co-founder, Shelley Golan. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So ladies, you know the drill. Do you have, Liz, do you have an app that you really like right now that you're very enamored with, using all the time?
Yeah, I learned my lesson last time I did my research.
You know, I always tell guests when I talk to them before the show, the best way to prepare is to listen to one.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always tell who did their homework or not by people who are surprised.
That's true. So I've been using this app called Canva, and it's basically a graphic design app. And what I love about it is that I'm not a really graphic design person. Usually leave that stuff up to Shelley. So it's made it really easy for me to design little posters, Instagram flyers, things that we need for marketing purposes, for H2O, for our other company, and for our clients. And so we've made it really, the app has made it really easy for me to kind of design what I need. And so I've been using it a lot lately. It's pretty great.
It's Canva.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's free.
It's free. Yeah. There's some like paid options, I think, for more intense like graphic design things. But for somebody as simple-minded as me, the free stuff works.
And you are using it on an iPhone?
I don't have an iPhone.
Oh,
I'm using
excellent.
It on Android.
Okay.
Galaxy.
So it's Android. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think they also have it for iPhone as well. But I
yeah, they do.
They do. I've used it before.
Yeah. So I'm using it on an Android because that's I switched.
Excellent.
About a year ago.
Okay, good for you. Yeah. They have those, Samsung has those, is it Samsung who has
yes.
the great commercials now of people who are just fed up with the iPhone and they switch at the end of the commercial?
Oh, do they? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have cable, so I don't really like know commercial things. But
interesting.
That sounds interesting and sounds about right.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
I'm just fed up with my iPhone battery life not lasting more than 2 hours.
Exactly. There's a hack for that.
Oh, well.
Shelley, do you have an app that you like right now? The only rules are you cannot talk about an app that you have designed, owned, or invest in.
No danger of that here today.
You never know. You ladies have a lot of hustle going
on. Oh, yeah.
So
well,
you could
here
very,
today.
You could very easily have some app thing happening somewhere.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And who knows, indeed. But yeah, as Liz said, I deal with a lot of our digital assets. I do a lot of content creation, video, and photography. And so right now, my most useful app that I do is my Dropbox app on my phone, especially as we're opening a new venture. A lot of different visual assets have to be exchanged with a lot of different people, from our publicists to our PR people to the food hall's PR people to our sponsors who want content that we've produced. And having Dropbox enables me to share and transfer a large quantity of visual assets very easily, just with one click. I've covered my bases. Everyone has the visual content they need in order to promote our business.
I like Dropbox very much. The only thing that's funny sometimes about it is people who aren't used to it and they think they can pull something down or take something and they don't realize that the files are communal versus
yeah.
a copied version for them. So that when they pull something down or they change something, then that pulls it down, that deletes it for everybody.
Yeah, luckily I haven't had that issue, although that does keep me awake at night sometimes. But what I do love about Dropbox is the fact that there is ownership. So I, as the owner of the assets, can decide who has access to download or to edit or to share. And so if I don't want anyone to mess with the files, I just make sure that that particular person doesn't have the ability to delete a very important piece of photography or video content from the entire folder.
No!
A lot of things keeping us awake at night.
Also, a part of the Tech Bytes team, we have in the booth at Mission Control, Vitor Hirsch, who's our engineer.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So you have a very busy day on Thursday. We used to be the very first show on the Thursday roster at 11 a.m., but there is a new show in town at 10 a.m.
The main course, yeah.
OG, right?
OG. It's the new version, yeah.
The main course is Patrick Martin's first show ever. He's the founder of Heritage Radio and also the founder and owner of Heritage Foods USA. And his original show was The Main Course many, many moons ago. And he decided to get back in the game and make a comeback.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. It's a great show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's 10 a.m. on Thursdays.
10 a.m. Thursdays, yeah.
And then afterwards, on demand on heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, all your favorite podcasting platforms.
That's right.
But it is a fun show. They always have big groups of people. Lots of really dynamic, animated conversation, I would say. It's a good way. It's a good way to wake up.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Vitor, do you have an app for us today?
Yeah, this week I sold some stuff online, and I like selling things on apps. They usually I get people to buy my used things on apps more than I do on Craigslist or, you know, talking to friends and stuff, or Facebook even. So this week I used an app called Reverb, which is specific to instruments, musical instruments,
okay,
and audio equipment. So that's for me, it's super handy because everybody who's there is looking for the stuff that I have, which is audio, a lot of, you know, microphones and instruments and everything. So, and there's a lot of good used gear there too. So I've bought stuff from there too.
Specialty marketplace.
Yep.
Do they also have records?
I don't think so. It's mostly equipment.
Just equipment. Yeah. Just equipment and instruments.
Right.
Very interesting. Can you spell it for us?
Yeah, R-E-V-E-R-B.
And is it only an app or is it also a website
it's
and a desktop thing?
It started
also?
as a website, I believe, and then it became an app. But it's cool. In the audio community, it's huge. People seem to like it a lot.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's what digital internet apps are good for, the super niche thing. I feel like digital life is the bestest for things that are hyper-specific. So my app is a little bit of a summer blockbuster tip. I don't know why it took me so long to discover this. I know I am very, very late to the game, but can we talk about the AMC Stubs app?
Oh, yeah.
Which you can now buy $5 tickets on Tuesday to any movie. You used to previously have to go to the theater in person to physically buy the $5 tickets on Tuesday, which is okay, but that limits your seating choice. And now you can do it in the app, which is amazing. Yeah. So any movie, you do have to pay a premium of an extra $4 if it's IMAX or 3D or something like that. But for those of you who are from one of those 165 countries who are not New York City based, you may not know, it's about $20 to go to get a ticket to a movie in Manhattan and New York City, which is very expensive. So
yeah, if it stopped there, that'd be great. Popcorn is another $20 and soda is another whatever. You end up going to the movies and spending $100. It's crazy.
So $5 for a movie ticket. I saw Deadpool 2 on Tuesday this week for $5. I was so happy.
That's a
in
good
a reserved recliner seat. It was amazing. It's less than coffee.
You know?
So fantastic. So especially now, summer blockbuster season, why would you ever go to a movie on a night other than a Tuesday?
It's true. I'm still riding the movie pass wave to see how far I can get with that. But I've been an AMC Stubs member long before movie pass came on the scene. So that's my standby.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. So there you go, people. And then it makes you less mad if you see a movie like Avengers Infinity Wars if you only paid $5.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh, let's not start.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a fan of the universe, but yeah.
Yes, me too. But $5 makes it better.
Indeed.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, Harvest to Order. That's Harvest number 2 Order. If you were going to shorten it, that's H2O. Very clever. Again, it's a really interesting concept. I think we've all, if you've been out in the world for the past 10 years, there's a lot of fast casual salad health concepts. We have the Just Salad, Sweet Green, even things like Dig In. Everybody's about farm to counter, farm fresh, local, healthy, delicious. This is the first time that the farm is actually in the restaurant. They have hydroponically grown salad that is brought in daily from a farm in Long Island. It sits in these very futuristic looking shelves with high-tech grow lights, and it sits there and continues to grow until you order it. And then they cut it and put it onto a salad or some toast if you're into that. And then you eat it. And it's pretty amazing. And I was out there on the opening day, which was Tuesday of this week. Today is Thursday, May 31st, 2018, for those of you listening in the future. So Tuesday was the 29th. It's pretty delicious.
Thank you.
And pretty fresh. And it's, you know, you can noticeably taste like the greenness and the crunch and the texture of it. I would say that, you know, I like lettuce, I like greens and things like that, but they have a very two-dimensional kind of quality to them. Everything's very flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And very, you know, leaves, obviously, very flat. But the microgreens were very, like, three-dimensional, like, chewier, more to get in on. And then also, I mean, really super green tasting and very, very fresh.
Right. So normally when you get greens, most people aren't a huge fan of the stem, which is the part that has most of the flavor. I mean, when you like pick off the, you know, leaves from a parsley stem and throw away the stem, you're throwing away the part that has the most flavor. So microgreens have this mostly stemmy kind of approach, and they have little leaves at the top. They're very cute. And what that essentially adds is texture. And I'm a texture freak. So that's one of the original things that hooked me onto microgreens.
So this seems to be a natural evolution of all the different, of a couple different food trends. One is the hydroponic growing. One is, you know, salad and fresher, fast casual, sustainability, local ingredients. How did the idea coalesce for the project?
Well, Liz and I, as you know, but to our reader listeners out there, we co-founded a company called Our Name is Farm, which is a food and farm-focused media and marketing company. And we joined 2 years ago the New York City Ag Collective, which is a collection of people in New York City who are either running their own urban farms or working in nonprofits that promote urban agriculture. And we met through that a lot of local vertical farmers, many of them here in Brooklyn. So suddenly we had this entree, if you will, to an entire universe of growing things that we hitherto had not seen before. So suddenly we were visiting these farms that were growing hydroponic microgreens. And it was our first time seeing microgreens being grown physically in mass. Usually we would buy them in smaller, very expensive quantities at the green market, or you would see them a few leaves here and there if you went to a very fancy, like, fine dining restaurant.
Or maybe see them at a juice bar or something.
Yeah.
A very expensive
always
juice
like
bar
a specialized.
Where you, like, cut a few and put it in. And
always a garnish, like a never the main course.
Smoothie.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so with our access to these microgreens, we started eating them in handfuls as our own salads. And the benefits were immediately clear to us, not only the flavor, but the nutrition. A microgreen on average has about 40 times more nutrition than their fully mature counterparts. And learning more about the farming aspect of it, we were shocked at how much it made sense as a product in terms of the growth cycle. So microgreens take between 7 and 10 days to reach their maturity as microgreens. So you have a very fast turnaround time with much fewer resources than it would take for growing a full term vegetable, if you will, in a hydroponic setting. So all of these things were percolating in our heads, and we found that we couldn't find access to microgreens in any other place. And for anyone who didn't have friends who were vertical farmers in the city close to them, there wasn't a way for them to access like a delicious salad of microgreens unless they physically went in.
People who have friends who are vertical indoor farmers.
Yes.
That's got to be an extremely small demographic.
We're working on an app for that. It's going to be a connect between...
No, thanks.
But yeah,
I mean, I can see it being a very small Facebook group.
You know,
like 17.
Yeah, maybe like 17, 20 people. You could all hang out in
it's
one
room.
It's
called the New York City Agriculture Collective.
It's called the New York City Agriculture Collective. So that's really what was the impetus for us coming up with this concept of, we think it's so great, and we are trying to get other people in our circle to understand why it's so great. But as with, I think, all really great ideas, we came up with this because it had to meet a need that we felt that we needed.
Which is the classic inventor entrepreneur scenario. I want something. It doesn't exist. I'm going to make it.
Exactly.
And I'm going to hope that there are enough people out there who are like-minded, who want this thing too. to make it successful.
Fingers crossed.
We did a show earlier, I think it was last year, episode 119, Mini Farms Inside of Restaurants, and it was with Smallhold Farms, mm-hmm. which is a indoor mushroom farming company.
Yep.
And they have a small mushroom farm installation down at Mission Chinese Restaurant in
yes.
New York. And so they are growing mushrooms for the mushroom fried rice and, you know, bunches of other things, which is fascinating. So that's another sort of similar idea for a very specific menu item and also sit down more, you know, traditional dining. So maybe, I mean, you would think that this is the beginning of seeing something new. You know, to your point earlier about how you didn't really see microgreens in a really diverse environment, we know what microgreens are in terms of how they grow. What is hydroponically grown, though? There is I went out to see the restaurant on Tuesday, and on the menu it says aqua and hydroponic. And right. there's aquaponics and hydroponics. There's a lot of ponics happening in the indoor vertical farming thing.
Right.
Do you think people are going to understand what hydroponic is? Do you think you need to start to educate people a little bit about what that means also?
Yeah. So we're in the soft open right now, but the hard open is on Monday, and by then we hope to have a little bit more in terms of signage for what hydroponic farming is and what microgreens are and why we've chosen to use microgreens. So we'll have that up. Shelly's also putting together a really awesome video that's going to be living on our website and on a tablet at the booth so that people can kind of see the whole hydroponic growing method, what it's like for us to get these greens from Coppercress in Riverhead, Long Island every day. Using Baldor as our distributor and kind of bringing that in and really educating people on what the product is. But yes, hydroponics is definitely something that is foreign to most people, but I think that most people don't even know, like, there's not enough information about it. But for example, the average shopper will be at Whole Foods and maybe grabbing some Gotham Greens, like not knowing that Gotham Greens is grown hydroponically.
I don't think the average shopper is at Whole Foods.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the average shopper is not at Whole Foods.
Right. So it's just, I meant the people who are shopping, let's say at like Whole Foods in the city would have access to that already, kind of not knowing that they're buying something hydroponic. And
well, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
What are you going to include in your informational video? How are you going to explain what hydroponic is to people? And as a sidebar, what's the difference between hydroponic and aquaponic? Because isn't it all water?
It is all water. The difference between hydroponic and aquaponic is aquaponic includes the addition of raising aquatic animals into your food system. So hydroponic means that you're growing plants not in a traditional soil environment where the roots are anchored in soil and you water them and they get sunlight. You're giving them the nutrients through nutrient-dense water, oftentimes that is injected into a substrate. So it's not grown in soil. There's none of the soil pathogens. Food safety-wise, it makes a lot more sense because you use a sterile, clean substrate. Our substrate that we're using for our greens is a wood fiber. It's like a wood pulp. And that's what the greens are growing in. That's what the roots are anchored in. And you run nutrient-dense water through that substrate. And the plant seeds themselves, or the microgreens, contain enough nutrients inside to sustain the growth up until the microgreen stage.
So this is basically a super tech, super science version of if anyone has ever taken a paper towel, put water onto it, sprinkled some seeds of some kind onto it, and let those germinate and grow into stuff, that's basically hydroponic.
Yeah,
sort of.
Pretty much.
In a very basic sense, you have a super wood paper towel kind of layer, you have super nutritious water, but that's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's the ingredients of growing plants remain the same. You have nutrients, you have light. It's the plant. Yes. There's we're not growing something fake. We're using controlled environment agriculture, which is shortened into CEA, to enable us to grow nutritious products in environments that either can't support the size of traditional farms. Farms take up a lot of space. They grow horizontally. And so doing things vertically in indoor spaces enables us to increase the yield per square footage. And we can emulate optimal growing conditions for plants using the lights that we have and the nutrients that we have. So you could grow things in non-arable land, in buildings, on rooftops, wherever.
It really puts a different spin on eat local.
Yes.
Because, and it also puts a different spin on the whole concept of terroir and regionality and those kinds of things.
Yeah. It kind of, it provides a new lens from which to look at what does it mean to eat local and what does it mean to, you know, hashtag eat clean. What is transparency when you can physically harvest your own product? And what does a good product mean? For us, it means growing it in the best possible way, giving it exactly what that baby plant needs to thrive.
Well, we are going to take a quick break and find out how we make Heritage Radio Network thrive. You may not know, but we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We're kind of like public radio. We subsist entirely on the generosity of our members, underwriters, and grants. Today, the sponsor is Alaska Seafood, which is an amazing terroir space, place where delicious, amazing, natural things come from. So let's take a listen and see what we have to discover in Alaska. Stay with us.
What it takes to swim a coastline longer than the entire eastern seaboard and leap tall waterfalls in a single bound. What does it take to survive 200 feet deep in icy salt water? What would you be made of? Wild Alaska Seafood is made of tight muscle mass, long chain omega-3s, and incredible micronutrients. It matters where your food comes from. Experience the flavor of the fittest in every bite and enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. Ask for Alaska on the menu, grocery store, or smart device. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is a brand new fast casual restaurant called Harvest to Order, which just opened this week in the North 3rd Street Market in Williamsburg. It's very exciting. It's super fresh news. It's a super fresh restaurant. We love to be first here on Tech Bites. If you want to find out more about Harvest to Order, go to harvest2order.com. You can find them at social media at Harvest to Order. We are talking with co-founders Shelley Golan and Liz Vanknin. If you want to follow Shelley, she is at ShellmasterFlex, which gives me a little bit of an 80s retro feeling, which we'll talk about after the show. Or you can follow Liz at Chef Liz Vanknin, V-A-K-N-I-N. One of the interesting things about their Harvest to Order concept, there's a lot of interesting things. It really is the first fast casual concept, really the first concept, I think, where the farm is actually in the restaurant. You know, we hear a lot of like farm to counter, farm to dish, farm to kitchen, farm to plate. Well, it's actually farm in the restaurant, which is fascinating. But the other thing, which is worth mentioning, is that it is a business that is 100% women-owned, financed, designed, operated, and marketed. You have like a great team of women on this project. Was that intentional? Did it just happen because the best folks to be in the slots were women? Did you want to make a 100% women business?
So Shelly and I, obviously.
Two women.
Two
have a women-owned business together.
Yeah, that's right. Danny, our publicist, works with us at Our Name is Farm as well. So she just kind of transferred over as our publicist for H2O. And Courtney joined us because she's just amazing. And we were talking because her and I sit on the board for another nonprofit in the city called Teens for Food Justice, also part of the New York City Agriculture Collective. And Courtney comes from a background of sustainability consulting at Morgan Stanley. And so bringing her on as a CFO type role really made sense because that's what she'd been doing in a larger corporate setting. And since we're a small company that's looking to expand quickly, having somebody with that type of consulting, especially from the sustainability perspective, was really important to us. As much as we would like to scale quickly, we don't want to be one of those companies that scales quickly and then folds quickly because they didn't do it properly. So having the people at our side that have the experience to do so from a larger perspective, from a corporate perspective, like Courtney, really helps. And yeah, I just think it was by chance that we had that arrangement, yeah.
So is that something that you intend to continue? Or is it going to be luck of the draw? Do you see the first dude coming on to the org chart at some point? Or do you like the fact that in your press materials and on your pitch deck, it says 100% women-owned, financed, designed, operated, and marketed, which I found compelling?
Yeah, I mean, we love that, of course. There are a lot of opportunities in food that I think are growing for women specifically, and being able to kind of focus on that has been a really important part of Our Name is Farm for the last 5 years, and will definitely continue to be a focal point for H2O. That doesn't mean that we won't have, you know, dudes helping. And we already do, kind of. We have, you know, prep cooks that are helping us in the back of house.
Intern coming soon.
A new intern coming soon for the first time. We've only had female interns until now. And yeah, like we're pretty open, I think, but our goal is to stay the majority owned and operated by women.
So at the director, manager, partner,
yes,
C-suite, yeah, level.
Ideally. Yeah.
And also
leadership, brain trust.
Yeah.
That all kind
good
of thing.
Good, yeah. Brains. I also think that we have a lot of women working with us because a lot of women seek us out because we're a women-owned business. So as much as
it happens naturally.
It does happen. Like what Liz said is absolutely correct. Because we are a women-owned business, women seek us out and they're amazing and we want them on our team. And so it's a very nice loop.
Is there any... So you have, with your business, Our Name is Farm, worked with other restaurants. You've worked with people opening restaurants and opening businesses in the past. This is the first business that you own?
Yes.
We sort of have like slightly large eyes and...
Yeah. Well, we've had like long-term pop-ups before. Nothing that was this permanent that we planned on extending for a long period of time. And I think the move for us on that end was literally just to be able to reach a larger audience. Through our experiential activations with Our Name is Farm, we've reached a lot of people, but it's very hard to track the progress. And not being able to track different events or different programs or different people because of the variety and because of the differentiating aspects of each event and what, you know, they demand and what they focus on was really challenging. And so setting this up in part was to expand our mission of increasing access to and education about local wholesome food. And harvest dating is one of those things. I mean, when you buy milk, you know, even at the grocery store, it'll have a sell-by date. And when you're buying vegetables, it'll have a sell-by date. And the question that you really should be asking is, when were they harvested, these vegetables? Because vegetables, the minute you take them away from their life source, they start to decompose and they lose their nutritional shelf life. And so when you're eating a salad anywhere, even at home or outside, you need to ask yourself where the stuff came from. Because if you really do want to eat healthy, it's not just eating vegetables. Obviously, it's, you know, still better than eating red meat every day or whatever else your doctor or nutritionist will tell you. But it's not as amazing as being able to really know that your food was harvested within a certain amount of time to allow for the maximum nutrition to kind of enter your body and to be absorbed.
The whole sell-by date thing is very controversial in some aspects. Mm-hmm. There's a myriad of points of view about it, ranging from it's just something to encourage people to buy things more frequently, something to protect producers and businesses from, you know, potential lawsuits and things like that.
Of course.
You know,
It also, at
some point, you know, the product becomes less than 100%, still okay, but not 100%. I have a friend who is a voracious, amazing home cook who never throws anything away, who bakes with, you know, kind of milk past the expiration date and all that kind of stuff, and nothing ever
happens. Yeah, I think the average American consumer needs that because they aren't able to tell what is fresh and what isn't. And I think it, from a food safety perspective, it is important. Of course, I understand that it also leads to a lot of food waste because it's not true that most of the time, you know, when you have something as a sell-by date, that if you go a few days after, like, nothing will really happen to you. So
especially when it's something like yogurt that's right. on premise already.
Kind of tangy and yeah.
already
sour.
Sort of rotten and fermenting yeah, exactly. and all that kind of stuff. Exactly. I mean, in a strictly...
Or even
sense.
In a very expensive steakhouse, you pay premium for a dry aged beef, and that's just beef that's been like hanging
people
out.
People don't realize
a long time.
That they're gonna cut the mold off before they cook
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does
gonna,
not
like,
look
cut
good.
That crusty layer.
Yeah.
yeah, it smells kind of funky too.
Yeah. Totally, but
kind of nasty.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny standard.
So with H2O, what we managed to do is really show people, you know, we're sourcing. Seasonally, we try to source locally, but we're definitely sourcing domestically for our products. And the microgreen part of it is really kind of the focal point because regardless of anything else that we do, these microgreens have so many nutrients in them that they are nutritious enough on their own, right? So if you just ordered a salad with dressing and no toppings, or no dressing even, because honestly they taste good enough on their own, you would get this insane boost of energy after eating them. They're just such a superfood, and they're just so packed in nutrients. And I always use the example of like a microgreen kale. Let's say people eat a lot of kale, and when you're chopping it up at home, I mean, you can only eat a few of those big leaves because they're kind of filling. Each of those little microgreens is destined to be a big kale stem, and you can only eat so many of those mature green kale stems before you get full. But with a microgreen kale, you can eat a whole bowl of them, and so you're getting this nutritional, like, you know, slap to the face kind of thing where you're just like totally waking up after eating an entire bowl of them because you're getting all the nutrients that you would from these, you know, hundreds or whatever it is, little microgreen stems in your bowl as opposed to the few kale stems that you'd be eating in your regular salad.
The one question that I do have, having been out to see the shop and the shelves with the microgreen plants and cutting them into the bowls, it almost didn't seem like you had enough shelf space for enough microgreens to do any really significant business numbers that you need to do to make business numbers.
Right. So there's definitely like a limitation to how much we can serve right now. But I think that we're overcoming that, first of all, by allowing for multiple deliveries. And so we...
So your microgreens are delivered from the Long Island farm every morning?
Every morning. And we are going to schedule for multiple deliveries when we get busier. But right now, our farm capacity holds about several hundred salads per day.
In the shop. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's enough. And if we get multiple of those, we can reach several thousands. And so, obviously, we're a long way from there because we just opened. But, you know, that's our goal. And we worked with Agritecture Consulting to design a farm that made sense. Microgreens are smaller, so they might look like they take up a bunch of space when you have, like, a lot of them, but they also...
They feed a lot,
yeah.
So I know this is only day three of the business, although I know you've been planning this and working on this for much longer.
15 months.
What's the game plan for the next 6 months, 12 months? What's your scale model look like?
Right. So we're going to be introducing catering in a little bit. And for that, we're going to have options for greens that we'll harvest right before we send it over. Or you could also opt for live trays if you want to harvest them in your office, if that's something that your employees are interested in doing. We're also going to be launching a meal prep service. that you can pick up at the location in Brooklyn. We might offer a delivery option. We haven't really talked about that yet, but basically it's kind of like a Blue Apron type thing, but it's already prepped for you, and since it's salad, you don't really have to cook it. And we'll be offering live green chays for you to take home so you can harvest your greens to order when you're ready to eat them. And that's something that we're going to be doing from the shop, obviously in limited quantities, and maybe, you know, kind of growing with that in a different way. And then for the long term, obviously we want to open up more locations, but we're also looking into like a vending machine concept where we could have salad vending machines at really busy office buildings or co-working spaces. And of course, the microgreens won't be harvested to order, but they'll be harvested that morning. And so it's still better and more nutritious than any salad you could get in New York City.
Yeah. Does
that already exist in Japan? Japan is the number
one. If not, they're working on it.
vending machine destination. That their vending machine game is.
It's unreal.
Yeah, their vending machine.
Unparalleled.
Although I have to say, I just saw a cheese vending machine from my friend who went to Montreal, and that was like pretty exciting. I wish there were cheese vending machines in the city.
They have. They've upped the vending machine game in the New York City airports, which I'm impressed with.
Yeah.
Where you can spontaneously purchase from a vending machine, you know, clothes from Uniqlo, or there's Benefit Cosmetics has one, Best Buy has one,
Sephora has one.
It totally makes sense, especially with all the things you can't take through security now.
Yeah, or the stuff that you get lost in your luggage.
Exactly. Surprise inclement weather or something like that.
Yeah.
Vending machine. So does this vending machine exist, or is this something that you
want to create? There's a regular refrigerated vending machine that we could use. And then there's another company out in San Francisco that our publicist just found at the National Restaurant Association show last week that has an option for you to kind of put in your ingredients and fill kind of different canisters. And then when somebody comes to the vending machine, they can choose their toppings. And those toppings are immediately dispensed into a bowl with the dressing. And kind of curated to order so that you're not really having these salads that are already
pre-made. Getting them soggy.
Yeah, and he has a few already in place in San Francisco, so we're hoping to kind of connect with him and open some of those in New York City and hopefully expand after that.
Well, that sounds very interesting. If you have that conversation, definitely give us a shout, because that sounds
will do.
Really like a lot of fun, the salad vending machine.
Oh, yeah.
And we can have you back again on the show, because this is all the time we have for this show, believe it or not. If you again want to check out Harvest to Order, they are in the North 3rd Street Mall in Williamsburg. They were in the New York Times food section on Wednesday, which is very exciting, in Florence Fabricant's Off the Menu column. If you want to listen to some more great episodes about indoor farming, you can check out episode 119, which was about smallhold mushroom farms and Mission Chinese food. If you want to hear more from Liz about business and food business, she was on episode 92. It was a food business boot camp, which was kind of interesting. We like to do boot camp episodes every now and again on Tech Bites as sort of public service episodes where people can get some tools to solve some of their day-to-day challenges if they are food business owners and entrepreneurs. If you like the show, come back and see us every Thursday at 11 a.m. If you want to take it with us, you can find us on heritageradionetwork.org or iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and pretty much every single podcasting platform there is. If you want to get in touch with us because you have a great idea for a story, you want some more information about something you heard, you want to come on the show, we're very interactive. Send us an email, techbytes@heritageradionetwork.org. You can find us on social media at techbyteshrn. If you really, really loved it and you can't live without it, think about becoming a member, a private person member, a business member, or maybe an underwriter. If you would like to sponsor this show, give us a shout. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi. This is Tech Bites.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.